All of his victories depended on a very, very skillful coordination of naval and land forces. He was expert at what we would call amphibious operations. That meant every victory won over the Persians or a wayward ally increased the confidence of the Athenian thetes, the lowest classes, who rowed in the fleet. And in time, they were going to become dissatisfied with a policy that just didn't further democratic reforms and kept them out of high offices. There were still restrictions in the Constitution. For instance, to sit on the council, you had to be of the top three propertied classes. Thetes could not be on the council. The archonship was restricted to the top classes. And there were other aspects about the Constitution that were not democratic. The Areopagus, the old aristocratic council that had never been abolished, they disciplined magistrates. They had the right of dokimasia and euthenai. Someone like Pericles or other radical Democrats will eventually take those powers and entrust them to the popular courts, that is to the General Assembly, acting in a judicial power, the majority of whom would be thetes, who make up the sailors in the fleet. So from the start, Cimon's victories are, in the long run, would increase the confidence of the demos, and Cimon's own reluctance to sponsor democratic reforms, to take any kind of role in the politics of Athens, would put him at a disadvantage. And we know by the mid-460s BC, he is coming under serious criticism for that by two men styled as radical Democrats, Ephialtes and, of course, the future leader Pericles. At the same time, his policy of accommodation with Sparta also had its limits. And it changed abruptly again in the mid-460s because of two events. In 467 or 466 BC, it could have been in either year, at the river Eurymedon on the shores of southern Turkey today near the ancient site of Aspendos, Cimon won his greatest victory on land and sea. He surprised a Persian fleet and army and essentially took the entire fleet on the beaches and destroyed it. There was vast amounts of booty. So much silver was captured that the Athenians struck special coins to commemorate this victory, which are among the most expensive and rarest of the coins in the Athenian series today. The allies were well rewarded, but this victory, which we call the Battle of the Eurymedon, made clear that Persia was finished. And many allies at this point began to have second thoughts whether they needed Athens at all. In 465, either within a year or 2 years of this victory, Athens got into a dispute with a charter member of the Delian League. This was the island of Thasos in the northern Aegean. It's a beautifully wooded island, and it controlled opposite the island on the shores of northern Greece, a Piraeus, which is a hinterland which had very, very rich mines. They're described by Herodotus, perhaps 300 talents a year. Well, the Athenians disputed the rights to these mines, and Thasos immediately seceded from the Delian League, and Cimon charged in with the Delian League's navy and the Athenian navy and put Thasos under siege. Thasos was a very successful commercial power. It was an oligarchy. And in the second year of the siege, in 464 BC, the Thasians appealed to Sparta for aid. Now, this was a dramatic step. It's caused a great deal of debate among scholars exactly what's going on. But the authorities in Sparta, and the term's vague, it's the ta tele, those with final charge, probably the ephors, the gerousia, and the two kings at the time, neither of whom were particularly noteworthy as political figures, agreed to bring the issue before the Spartan assembly. What the Thasians wanted was a Peloponnesian invasion of Attica to compel the Athenians to raise the siege of Thasos and respect their autonomy and freedom. Autonomia and Eleutheria in Greek. This resonated with the Spartans. By 464 BC, many Spartans believed that Athens had violated those oaths sworn back in 477, that Cimon was bluntly and blatantly using the forces of the Delian League to advance the interests of Athens, was trampling on the autonomy and freedom of Thasos, a perfectly independent state, and that the victory of the Eurymedon had really, in the minds of many Greeks, had removed the necessity of having a Delian League and really put Athens in a legal and moral wrong in the eyes of most Spartans. The Spartans voted the invasion. They were going to do it.